Tonight we'll sing a little. We'll have some stories, probably be active in many ways. Probably, I would guess, the most active way you'll be involved is in your own imagination. I wouldn't want to think that, let's say that you'd have to take off your shoes and exchange them with each other, you know, that would be the more active than if you were just to imagine taking off your shoes. We don't want to get too active tonight. But I don't want you to put anything past yourself or me in what we might imagine. I do really like the word imagine. It's a synonym to the word image. And if you want to go to another language, I think it's called imago. I make up whether it's a synonym or not. I don't look some things up that I believe because I may be wrong. And I'm having so much fun with the combinations I've got going that I don't want to disprove myself on some of these things. So I just keep going along until I'm in too much trouble, and then someone really corrects me, and then I just flee. I flee from the whole area, and then I go into something else. Yes, it is I. She was looking at me. Now, you see me? Oh, she was not looking at me. Here I had the audacity to think that she wanted to see my countenance, and, which I don't know. I don't really know what that means. I think that countenance doesn't necessarily mean a bearded person, but it might. I think that countenance probably means even beyond the beard, or the next beard, or the before the beard. It's one of those heavy words that I'm still working with. I think when I get to be 60, I'd like to work with the word countenance. Right now I'm 52, and I'm very busy with some other things. I do think, though, while I'm thinking of it, that countenance, maybe children understand countenance, because it may be that countenance is more of a scribble than it is a clear representation of a mother or a father or a parental face. For instance, if you look at children's art, ecumenical art, I think it's sometimes called Catholic or universal art. I've never heard of Catholic art or ecumenical art, but I just thought of it. I like the word Catholic. I think it means universal. Maybe it's bigger than universal. Well, anyway, wherever you go, children who draw their first pictures, you know, they scribble, and then in the middle of the scribble, they make this loop. Sometimes today, mathematicians would compare it to a zero, and they compare it to their mother. They said, look, I drew mummy, see, in the loop, and or I drew daddy. And what they have drawn really is not what you look like, but who you are. And I think that countenance has more to do with who you are. It's more than your hairdo and your beard. It's probably pre and post hairdo. Hairdo, that's a nice word, isn't it? Hairdo? I don't mean hairdo, but hairdo just sounds like a new word. If you could hyphenate it, or if it was a foreign language, hairdo. Wonder what language would be, hairdo. Yeah, I would frown too if I were you. I see a woman frowning and chewing harder and harder. I would frown too if I walked into a room like this. I'm just kind of letting my mind afloat. Afloat doesn't mean it's out of this room. It's inside my skin. I'm not sure. Is the mind just inside the skin? Does it ever get out of the skin? That's another one. I think I'll take that when I'm 70. Is your eye inside you, or does it come right up to your skin? Is it maybe an inch around your body? How big is your self? And all of that. Well, countenance. I think that countenance really is more presence, and what I would like to experience tonight is quite beyond what you see. I'd just like to have you experience maybe what is and what is not in this room. Let that come to your mind. You probably will. It's your own heritage called recollection. And it's your own inheritance, and you should enjoy that. And some of you have 62 years of it, and some of you have 48 years of it. You may as well enjoy it. Don't just enjoy the last week. That is not interesting enough. You know, you can do better. Pick up that 10-year-old and that 8-year-old and that 5-year-old that you have living inside of you that really has never quit and swings a little when no one's looking, or swings a lot when someone's looking. Just and, you know, inside you wouldn't be very printable either. And if you talked the way you thought and felt sometimes, it would be beyond print too. And people would say, "Oh, really?" And you must be kidding, or what? And all of that. And that's kind of what I may get into tonight, but not too much. Not too much. I think I'm almost done with it. Just a prelude. You know, you don't understand the preludes in worship either. The first hymn, you know, "Beautiful Savior," that one you can get. But the preludes, you couldn't hum them at home, could you? You ever hum the preludes for lunch on Sundays? No. No, well, you won't hum what I just did either. You'll just say, "That was some prelude." You may not even call it a prelude. You may say, "Well, I left right after that." All that he said before I left, that. I really like the area of imaging and imagining in the imago area. I like that. I don't like to skip it. And what I don't like is to have three painters tell me what to see. And what to imagine. And I don't like it. I really don't like it when someone draws my picture for me. I don't like that. I used to not say anything. Now I don't say a whole lot. I just go away. I mean, I sit there, but I go away. I just go away and I have my own picture. I have my own image. And it may be like theirs, but if they don't let me do mine, I don't stay awake very long. And it's not alive to me. I like my ideas, my words. I like my words, and the words I hear, those are my words. And the words that I see in a book, those words, I like to have them take some kind of a form, a color, a shape. I don't do that too long, otherwise you just do one word a week. You know, you wouldn't get very far. Think of how many sentences you'd miss. You'd have to go that slowly. But I like to ponder sometimes and just wonder and marvel and look at a close-up of a picture or imagine something that I saw years ago. Or imagine something around the corner and I just see a tiny thing or hear just a phrase and I make up all the rest. I write all around that little tiny phrase until it's true. You know what I mean, don't you? I mean, that's all I need sometimes is just a peek. Just a peek, and I know, oh my, what I know. I don't even want to know sometimes what they really said because I like mine better. You know, I see some people know, and you probably all know that we're original, and we do really need the possibility for imagining. I'm not too sharp on triangles. You know, I don't mind triangles and green ones. I don't mind them, but they don't tell me most about the nature of God. I mean, I really have. And the work of God. I really have more trouble with triangles than anything right now. I may get over that again when I get older, but the three interlocking circles don't help me a whole lot either. They help me some. It's been important. But there are other things that help me also a whole lot. Wind helps me. I like wind. I like water. Those two, when they get together, I know I've got a storm, and I can handle that. I know storm, and I know calm. And storm and calm is almost enough for me. I can get everything in those two categories. Pre-storm and storm and post-storm. That's like a prelude, the service, and the postlude, you know. That's called A, B, and C. I'm not confused, you know. You probably aren't either. You got here and you... Some people think you're confused when you don't think the way they think. No one thinks the way I think. I don't even want them to think exactly the way I think, they might get up too early in the morning. They might become me or want me to be them, and I don't want that burden for them or for myself. I'll just read something. I looked at a dandelion. I like dandelions. Dandelions are very nice flowers. I think that they would make good altar flowers. In fact, if you had someone in your parish and had a whole bunch of them, you could give everyone one instead of a bulletin. They might go farther. They might go farther. They might go farther. Yeah, I know. I looked at a dandelion, and you see, this dandelion here is a picture of a dandelion. And if you can't find a real one, a picture is all right. If you can't find a picture, a drawing is all right. If you can't find either, just get a blank wall and look at one, and you probably know what they look like anyway. We all can image. And I looked at this one, and it has water. It has just, oh my, it just has little water drops all on the edges, and if it whirled, it would just kind of spin off water. And I thought of this: incarnation, harvest burst, breaking fountain, quenching thirst, center and circumference, Jesus in remembrance, awesome insignificance. I mean, this is awesome, but this is insignificant. This is my neighbor's dandelion. Veiled inside magnificence. I'm heading for a word that I think is a new one. I'm trying to see if I could get a new word in this book that's not in the dictionary, and I think I'm coming to one. Jesus Christ of consequence. You probably recognize by now that the end of most of the words is A-N or E-N-C-E. And that's awfully hard for me because I don't know which it's A or E. But that's why editors are there. I just thought of the word and they spelled it right. Jesus Christ of consequence. Holy, holy incident. I'm not going to give you that last line yet because that's the new word. But now I just want to go back a little. I wrote this also for the singer. This is a seer. This is a sayer. Now I want the singer. So I'm waiting for a singer, that is a composer, to pick this up, and they will. I just send it out to them, and they're hungry too. You know, and they say, oh, and just, can you imagine this singing? I can imagine this singing. Center and circumference. Why don't we just say it after me, and you can just say it in different pitches if you want to, but kind of intone it, okay? Center and circumference. Jesus in remembrance.
Jesus in remembrance.
Awesome insignificance.
Awesome insignificance.
Well, the reason I'm doing it round, several reasons. This is round, isn't it? That gave me my cue. Another one is the dandelion is round. I should go like this, but there's nothing like this around me. It's like this right now. You always get your cue from what's around you, unless you've been really well trained. And I'm not that well trained, so I just kind of operate off of what is there, huh? Oh, we were on veiled inside significance.
Veiled inside significance.
Oh, you got a veil. I mean, veiled. This is not a blanket. This is a veil. Veiled and just kind of tucked in. Okay, here we go.
Veiled inside significance.
Oh, that is so nice. Jesus Christ of consequence.
Jesus Christ of consequence.
Holy, holy incidents.
Holy, holy incidents.
Word and water marvelance.
Word and water marvelance.
That would sing, huh? We just sang it. It's called, I think we intoned it. Practically. That's nice. I really enjoy dandelions and circumferences and centers and fireplaces and circles and spirals and tones and rhythms. Oh, I do. Oh, you do too. You do too. One of the reasons I enjoy rhythm so much is that I was never allowed to dance. It was wicked. So now I'm just full of it. You know. I have that problem I can work out all my life now called rhythm. And I like rhythm. Here's another rhythmic one. This one is off not so much water, even less. So it's not so strong. This is not a waterfall I'm riding off of. This is dew on a daisy. Oh, there's one, dew on a daisy. Right there, two D's in a row. Poems can rhyme from the beginning, too. You get to the duh, then you have an extra choir rehearsal that helps you to say the duh right. Oh, this is very important. And I, here with Beanie, you find the word for Beanie is just as important as the tone. I mean, that's the wholeness of it. That's all I want somehow to get into tonight. And that wind and water become one. And when they are one, you have a storm and you have calm. And you have clouds and atmosphere and rain. And wind always looks for water, and water waits for wind. And word looks for the world, and the world looks for the word. And those two get together, that's called spirit and flesh. And we have those two categories. And they are very much into each other. Very different from each other, at the same time extremely related. And we need them both. I wouldn't want to be just with the wind, nor just with the water, but the wind and the water. Give us those great stories called wind-water stories. You know, look under W in the concordance, and you won't find it. But you will look under Jonah, and you will find it, and look under Noah, and you will find it, and look under Israel going to the Red Sea, and you will find it. And you will find it under the leper that was cleansed and reached. There you will find your wind and water stories. Wind and water, what's that about? Salvation, that's what it's about. The wind and the water stories gives you the help and the help. Now here's another one that goes round and round and round. Or on and on and on, but on and on and on. This way, if you print it flat, is on and on and on. You know, you play records, I can tell. They go on, and they go this way. Some people are afraid to see how they think. They don't want to do that. I think it's very important to see how you think. Not only know what you think, but see how you think. And you get into the sight, you get into insight. And you could be so surprised. You would sound as marvelous as you know you are. And you could be wiser than they say. You could be caught off guard, and you could side glance, and you could say something, and they said, who said that? They look in the book of Proverbs, and you said it. It is wisdom. We're always very close to a finer kind of information that isn't always, oh, what did she say? Oh, yes, I think I'll repeat that. Why? Why? Why not on your own? When I travel and I teach, and sometimes I teach for credit in seminaries and colleges, that means they pay for the course. And they also get a grade. That's what it means, too. Sometimes when someone says, I don't know, I give them an A. They don't. They don't know. Why should I flunk them? Because, you know, he says, I don't know. That's true. He does not know. That's true. So he doesn't know. Or I don't think about my feelings. That's true. He doesn't. He knows that now. Therefore, give him an A. Or an A minus. But somewhere in the A. Now here's another one that goes round. By the wet of morning dew. Well, you can say that with me, okay? After me. I'll say it first. By the wet of morning dew. By the Spirit Mary knew.
By the Spirit Mary knew.
Old is now and then is new.
Old is now and then is new.
Like a sudden fountain burst.
Like a sudden fountain
burst. In a universal thirst.
In a universal thirst.
Jesus knows the gentle touch.
Jesus knows the gentle touch.
When a drop is ah so much. Lord of all, come into view.
Lord of all, come into view.
Though we be so far and few.
Though we be so far and few.
That's nice. Now I'm just thinking. I think we're on to something. I do intend to get to my notes tonight, but I think maybe we're on to something here. That when I think I'm on to something, that is I have an idea. You ever catch yourself having an idea? What do you do with it? You could say, go away, I've got my script. But you could say, oh, thank you. It's a marginal thought. And I like the margins, and the margins are marvelous. And so I think of... Yeah, we can do that. We'll do that, and we'll have you upstairs, okay? Upstairs. What I have you do, oh, this is going to be nice. It's never been done. This is a premiere tonight. That's right. This will be a premiere tonight. It's called Using Both Levels. That's what it is. All right. And I will again say the sentence down here and above. They will sing, and this will give you the beat up there. And I'll give you the pitch, and you hum it. Not too loudly, but just enough so that we all know it's in the room. And it'll be a beautiful Savior. This is the first time through, and I'm thinking... down here has directed a choir, or you have? You have directed a choir? You have. No. You've directed a choir? Any of you, can you sing at all? All right, fine. You can direct this tonight. Get up there. Just like this. All right. All right, you direct them. Just put your hand. Keep them in a beat. Just keep going. All right, let her do it. By the wet of morning dew, by the spirit Mary knew, old is now and old is new. Like a sudden fountain burst,
like a sudden fountain burst.
In a universal thirst,
in a universal thirst.
Jesus knows a gentle touch.
Jesus knows a gentle touch.
When a drop is ah so much,
when a drop is ah so much.
Oh, you did it. We all did it, didn't we? Yes, we all did it. All the way to Holden to direct the choir. Yeah. Why do you do these things? Well, why not? What else shall we do? I want to tell you a story. There is a burl. The burl is somewhere in the United States. It came from this mountain. And a man cut down the tree, and there was this huge burl. He gave the burl to my friend. And my friend carved a font, and he filled it with water. And we had it in Minneapolis not long ago on the stage, and 8,000 women were there for the convention. And there in the front of the font stood Jerry. Jerry was called me one day, and he said, could I talk with you? And I said, sure. And he said, could I eat with you? And I said, certainly. He said, I am dying, and I should have been dead at Easter, and I am dying. Can I eat with you? And tomorrow, and he came from Grand Forks to eat with me, and at noon we ate, and then he went to the hospital, and he said at 2 I will get my shot, and then at 3, and then at 5. So I knew what would happen to him after we ate, and he ate well. I was in Nevis, Minnesota not long thereafter, and there were about 28 women, and I would say the average age in this women's meeting was 55. And I said, who is he? They said, Jerry. Someone from the national office had come in to investigate my work, to see if I had done a good week's work. So I just catechized the community. And I said, and what does he do at 12? They said, he eats. And what does he do at 2? He gets a shot. And what does he do at 3? He vomits. And what does he do at 5? He eats lollipops to sweeten his mouth. And that was true. So this man called me and said, could I come and eat with you? And then he went home to die. And I said, well, look, as long as you're going to die, why don't you come to the convention and die with us, where it'll be 8,000, you can die there. Well, he said, why not? So he came to be with me on the stage to die. I mean, not just immediately, but, you know, dying. And on the stage, there were others. And he looked around and he said to me at one point, we're all dying. It dawned on him that we are all dying and living. And when I called him the day before, I said, are you alive? After he had answered. And his sense of humor and his sense of fear are merging. And the wind and the water are getting together. The water is his flesh and his death. The wind is the word of promise. And the wind is also my word on the phone to him. And the water is that he has no hair and that he knows from other signs, more than that by far, that he is a dying man. And he came and he stood before the font and 8,000 there. And while we were doing two or three other things, I said, Jerry, drown yourself 3 times. And he just took that water and he splashed it on his face once, and splashed it on his face twice, and splashed it on his face the 3rd time. And he knew that he's daily a drowning man, hollering, help! And there is help. And he knows that old picture of Jonah, help, up. And that picture of Noah when the whole earth was in a baptism and he was called and saved out of it. And all Israel, and the sea parted and they were saved. I mean, it's a stronger picture than an east wind. It's more than that. It's that old picture of salvation. And Jerry got caught in that by staring into the font. And he was mouth from ear to ear. That's a very meaningful story to me, because it's very hard for some of us to image, huh? Well, it's very hard to see that there's that much water. I mean, most of the time when I go to parishes, the first thing I do is I look and see if there's any water in the font, and when no one's looking, I get some and pour it in and shut it. And then if they ask me to say anything, and usually they do, I go over to the font and open it, and they think there's nothing there, maybe a dead fly, but no, there is water. They are so amazed. They wonder who did it. I did it. And I don't take it out. I think we've got rusted and rotten fonts across the church. We may have to replace some, but that is, I don't know how you can always image water when you haven't got any there. I even know places where we train people to be ministers and there isn't even a font in sight, and we believe in infant baptism, adult baptism, and drowning. There isn't even a thing. I welded one in a seminary not a couple of years ago, just a little one, and I said it. They didn't like that. They didn't want a welded one. So I got a log and we chopped one in the courtyard. We started, and when my colleagues would say, what are you doing? I said, we're making a font. So we hid down in the basement. But the story, you know, eventually, if you're going to, you know, if your imagination is going to be big enough, you're really going to have either water or a picture of water. I would think at least a picture of water. Huh? Wouldn't that be nice to have a picture of water around? I like water very much. I like water very much. And In Billings, Montana, we got around the font. The kids thought nothing was going to happen. And everything was going to happen, and where it was going to happen was inside their own heads. And that's what I knew. I knew that, because I know that if you can ask an imaginative question, imaginative answers will come. And the surprise will be with those who give them. So I said, "What do you see?" And the kid said, "A font." And he thought he was done. And everyone kind of paused and thought, "It's over? You know, one good answer, that's done, then that's for everyone." I said, "What else do you see?" And the kid said, "Water." You know, wise like. I said, "What else do you see?" And the kid said, "Water." You know, wise like. And I said, "True. What else do you see?" They looked as though there was something else. And a kid said, "A wash basin." And grinned. And, you know, and they're elbows into each other. I should have, you know, flunked them for deportment at that point. But they were getting into what they saw. This kid saw a wash basin. "What else did you see? Do you see?" "A bird bath." Giggle, 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 yeah? I said, "Sure. And what else do you see?" A kid said, "A lake." "And what else do you see?" A kid said, "A fountain." "What else do you see?" And I mean, we're looking in water. Otherwise, you're looking into embarrassment. "What else do you see?" And the kid said, "I see a river." "What else do you see?" "I see a flood." There wasn't anything that anyone would say. What's bigger than a flood? And I said, "What story do you know that looks like a flood?" And then they went through the flood stories. And I said, "When you look in the font, what do you see?" And a kid says, "Oh, that means you're near something." He says, "Baptism means you're saved from a flood." How about that? He can skip 3 years of Sunday school now. You know, I mean, we can teach some things over and over, and we don't see them because we're not asked to see them. Now I'm thinking of something nice. You look like a very cordial community tonight. I think you would let yourself do that. I mean, not me. It's yourself, really. I think you would let yourself do that. If you could find a person near you who probably wouldn't hurt you for about 3 minutes, that would be really nice. That's what I'd like. Someone who would treat you pretty well. Can you do that? Just find a partner who would do something with you that you wouldn't probably have to do tomorrow. Okay? Fine. You may have to walk across the room or make yourself available or something like that. Oh. All right. We're looking for a partner here. Here's one right here. Fine. All right. What we're going to do now could be done in any number of ways. You could do it with words. You could do it like why don't you hold out the palm of your hand like this, okay? And it could be done with a stick. But we're not going to do a stick. We're not going to do it with words. We're going to get a little bit more intimate. What we're just going to do is like this, okay? Like this and like this, okay? Just like that. That's all. And just do that now with that other person. One hand is all right. Two is fine. Make yourself comfortable. If you're at an angle, you may need some chiropractic work tonight. We may have to go from here to the sauna and give a back rub, huh? All right. I'd like to have this. Oh, I've not ever done this, and I can just tell how much fun it's going to be. Have you ever thought up a new thing or recipe and you knew it would be good? I too. It's one of those. I would like for one of you to be a one and one of you to be a two, and it just doesn't matter which one because you both have something nice to do. All right. And now what I'd like to have you do is close your eyes, because that is not going to be important for a while. Just shut your eyes. You're quite safe because that person you've chosen will be a friend in this little while. Number one, I want you to be, without talking about it at all, because I want what is inside your arm and your body and your skin, your muscles and your emotion, I want you to be the water, number one, and I want you just to be there, and number two, I want you to be the wind, and I want you to be wind, just moving over the water, and just kind of move your hands toward each other and around a little bit. Number one, remember you are water, and you don't, I'd prefer if you didn't talk, because in this case, water doesn't talk, nor does the wind, okay? It doesn't talk. Number two, you are the wind, and number one, you are the water. Just very, there's not even any mileage, no miles an hour yet. No miles an hour. And now, number one, you are the water. Number two, you are the wind. And I want just some ripples, and not to talk, but just do the ripples. And the wind and the water are being little waves, a little more, a little white cap, but not much. Oh, it's easy. And now, just let yourself be part of a very large body of water and be like tidal waves, but nothing. That's right, tidal waves. Oh, you're doing very well. I'm glad your eyes are closed. You'd be proud. That's right. Oh, that's so nice. Now you just quiet down to about 1 mile an hour again. 1 mile an hour. And now I would like for you to be, I'd like for you to be the water that starts to be a flood, and the wind that starts to be a flood, but you're not a flood yet. On the count of five, you cover half the earth. One, two, three, four. A little more rain and a little more wind. That's right. That's right. And five, you cover half the earth. And now, on the count of four, you cover the other half. One, two, three, four. That is so nice. Now just cover the earth. Cover the earth with wind and water. Remember, wind, don't become water now. Keep track of yourself. I'd hate to have you lose consciousness here. All right. Now, just one more thing with this little tiny scene here. I want you to be that storm, but I want you to destroy, but I want you to save one family in the ark. But destroy everything, but save one thing. That's fine. Just go right ahead. Go ahead and destroy and save at the same time. That's really nice. I wish this were filmed. Oh, my. All right. Just one more thing. Just one more thing. One more beautiful picture. I want you to be down to 1 mile an hour again, wind and water. You're just lying there. And now I want you to
I want you to just lie there and let a man, well, just a little, maybe some white caps, okay? Little white caps. Well, a little more. There's a ship on you. You may as well get a little bit rougher and toss that boat around a little bit, but not too much. Don't sink the ship, all right? And on the count of three, just stay where you are. Just keep doing it. On the count of three, they're going to throw a man overboard. One, two, three, and take him in. Put him down. Dunk him. Get him down. That's beautiful. Get him down. And don't let him up. Don't let him up. I mean, let him down there. And when I say three, then you go down, water, with the wind. You go down and get him up and spit him on dry land. One, two, three, get him. Oh, that's nice. Just relax and get down to 2 miles an hour. Just 2 miles an hour again, and get down to one. Just get down to one. And wind, that's so nice. Just while you're doing that, just imagine wind and water, that this man is on dry land, and he's walking away, and wind, you separate yourself from the water, and water, you separate yourself from the wind. And you can look at each other and yourself and just marvel at how you did. Well, now, I just want to tell you that is just one more thing. That is not going to be in any of the new Lutheran hymnals. And neither is this closing song that I will sing. I will sing a closing song. We still have a little while, but I want to give you time so you can get over... My goodness, I didn't even have a partner in my arms attired. This is a new liturgical exercise, I think. I want to sing a song that I like very much. I wrote it till I liked it. I know people who don't like anything to do. That's how humble they are. Oh, yes, that is a nice one, too. I think I wrote that one. I don't ever stay more than about 3 days anywhere, except Holden. I stay for 3 weeks. Oh, this will be nice. And then one more, I think 54. I want to sing a song by the way, when I came in last week, I was telling Beanie this morning, Beanie had, as often on Saturday night, a marvelous concert and a new song. I'm sure that Beanie has played and composed before, but I have not heard it, at least knowingly, and it was marvelous, and I enjoyed talking with him about that this morning. I like to talk with people who did something and like it and present it in some kind of a way. You know, if it's a new organ piece or a cherry pie or a recipe, all of those things. I like it when people like it. Or someone laying a sidewalk. He likes it so well, he's laying a second one. Oh, my. He just keeps doing it. He just likes his sidewalks. So I was looking for someone who could write words to limericks. I've done hundreds of limericks, and some people don't like them. They think that the words are all right, but the form is too vulgar. No, that I don't understand. But so I keep writing them because something could happen And I want many now, more and more. So I'm writing many on the Old and New Testament. And then I sent some to composers, and they sent them back. But I saw a composer here last summer, Paul Mons, and I thought, he behaves like a limerick, if you've ever noticed, Paul. When he plays on the organ, foot pedals, he's just at the tip of his toes, you know, and that limerick kind of goes along. It doesn't go, bah, bah, bah. So I thought, I'll bet he'll like limericks, and he did. So he wrote this tune for this limerick, and some of you heard it the other night. This is how it goes. I think I can sing several of these to this. Water is vapor and snow, a stream and a splashing below. It can spray from a fountain and pour down a mountain and wash me from head to toe, head, and wash me from head to toe. Water can rage in a flood and cover the houses with mud, inspire a largo, carry the cargo, and open a juniper bud. Can open a juniper bud. You know water can do that. I'm not nearly done. I have more coming here. Many more. I have hundreds, but I won't eat all of them. Just a few more. There once was a man on a tree who took on the dying of me. In his living and death he gave me new breath. By the word and the water I'm free. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. By the word and the water I'm free. Now that word and the water and that baptism dying, that's all in one picture. Walter Bowman talks about that all the time so beautifully. I can never get paragraphs. He can talk paragraphs. I can kind of ramble, and then sometimes I take this and I find out that in the front of the hymnal, in the old red one, which is still a new one for some of us, but in the old red one it says that then you make the sign of the cross on the child, huh, on the baptized one, and invite that person into the fellowship of suffering. Wow, I said to a pastor not long ago, if you say that, and what if you know, if they hear that, they may not want it into the fellowship of suffering. Oh, he said, I don't think they'll even hear it. Oh, you know, really, this is such, it's almost one ought to think much about whether one should be baptized. And then I've got some more, and I think they go by the same rhythm. Let me see. A valley was barren and dry until children and locusts did cry. A community drill did bring such a thrill when the water did burst to the sky, the sky, the sky, the sky, the water did burst to the sky. A prophet did hide in the deep where the mountains were jagged and steep. God watered their nook with a gurgling brook while the ravens brought bread in a heap, a heap, a heap, a heap. While the ravens brought bread in a heap. Brought bread. You'd have to have one extra hour of rehearsal. Brought bread. No one sings brought bread. Really. Except at Holden, you can sing brought bread. Let me hear you say brought bread.
Brought bread.
All right. I think that's another new word. Hyphenate it and we'll see you in the village. Thank you.